All right, if you'll turn to John 21 for a few moments this morning, we have been in this chapter for a number of weeks now, and we've been going through this appearance of the risen Christ and his resurrection council. Of course, all the words of the Lord are important. All the words of God are for our learning, for our instruction. And these words today are no different, but the Lord Jesus here seems to pull the Apostle Peter aside, and he has a conversation with him, and it's no ordinary conversation. This is a conversation that certainly is clothed in a lot of instruction. You'll find that in this conversation, the Lord is not commending Peter. I also don't think he's necessarily condemning him in the sense that we often think of condemning. But I would say that he is correcting him. And he's correcting him, and I believe the conclusion is that because he still sees in Peter's heart the possibility, he sees a flaw, he sees something that may still be there, even though we are now post-resurrection. And he deals with Peter very directly and very calmly, but I think also very sternly. We'll look there at verse 15 of John 21. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, of course, there is an air of correction to Peter here. We've looked at the first 14 verses, how that Christ is the only source of blessing. And here today, we begin a few verses teaching us that he's our only source of personal strength. This is a serious matter. This is not a common, everyday conversation that one would have with another. Don't forget, Peter had denied the Lord, and he had denied the Lord not in a casual manner, but he had denied the Lord in an emphatic manner. Not just once, but three times. He had been forgiven, no doubt. And we read how the risen Lord had received him and he was established once again as an apostle of Christ. He did not lose his standing per se. But that's not the end of the matter. This is not the end of everything that had happened. There is still more to be done. When Christ brings this issue of Peter's denial back again, what Jesus is doing here is he is purging Peter from a final piece or a final flaw that may still be in his heart. And you'll notice there in verse 15 that the Lord does not say, Peter, lovest thou me more than these. He uses the name Simon, son of Jonas. He had, of course, given him the name of Peter, but now you'll notice that the Lord here is using his, what we'll just refer to today, as his pre-discipleship name, the name that he used and was known by before he was called to follow Christ. The Lord is taking Peter back to square one. Simon, son of Jonas, this is a formal address. This is a formal acknowledgement of him. Now, what did the Lord mean, not just by the name, but what did he mean by lovest thou me more than these? What does the word these mean? Now, there are some who disagree, and they have long conversations about this, and I'm just going to give you today what I believe the these is, and we could discuss it, but I think for the text and what's happening here, there are some who think he's referring to simply the occupation and the trade of a fisherman. That somehow Peter had gone back fishing because he was despondent, because he was distraught. He had just given up. There are some that take that position. But would the question really be, do you love me and my commission more than these fish and fishing and profit? I would say no, that's not what Jesus meant by the these. He wasn't pointing to the fish. He wasn't pointing to the occupation of being a fisher. Notice he says, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And I believe that this is a reference, "Do you love me more than these other disciples?" Why would he mention that? Because it was Peter in Matthew 26:33 who said, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Peter's being reminded of what he had said. What have you to say for yourself? The Lord's asking him. Do you love me more than these other disciples who have not so blatantly denied me? Now, we could say that they all, in a sense, denied when they fled and left Jesus on the cross. No doubt about that. But Peter can't answer that question. Peter cannot answer the question, "I love you more than these disciples, these other disciples." He says, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He doesn't make reference to the these at all. He just simply says, "You know, Lord, that I love you." And that's not the question that Jesus is asking directly here. And again, Jesus, as the master teacher and the master instructor, is doing much more than just trying to make Peter feel guilty. That's not at all what he's doing. He's revealing a flaw that's still there. He's revealing a flaw that's still in Peter's heart. It goes without saying, Peter could not deny that he had not denied, though he couldn't deny it. He had done a terrible thing, and Peter simply says, "Yea, Lord, you know that I love thee." Jesus responds by saying, he saith unto him, "Feed my lambs. Feed and preach the gospel to those whom I will save. Preach the word to my children. Be a servant, be a shepherd." The word translated "feed" is an interesting word because it can be translated "shepherd." Shepherd my lambs. What is it to be a shepherd? It is to look after them. It's to be a humble person. Again, so this is not just a command to go and do something. When he makes mention of feeding, "shepherd my lambs," Peter is being reminded that he's going to need humility. He's going to need to be reminded that this is going to require you to be an extremely humble man. "Feed my lambs" is not a minor command. It's not a minor instruction. And yet he says to him, "Go and look after my lambs. Go look after my sheep." It leads us to ask the question this morning, and I want to ask you this question today. Is it possible? Is it possible today to love Christ in a sentimental way and not love him loyally? I would say absolutely 100% it is possible to love Christ sentimentally, but not loyally. It's possible to think that you have love. It's possible to have the love and the appreciation for what Christ has done, is doing, will do. It's possible to have appreciation and love for saving our children, for healing us when we're seriously ill, seriously injured. It's possible to have a love sentimentally, but that's not quite the same type of love, loving him loyally. To love Christ loyally is different than loving him sentimentally. The sentimental love of Christ is the easiest because we can point to something and say, "Here's why I love Christ, because of what he did for me." The main reason that we love the Lord, and this might rattle us a little bit today, the first reason that we love the Lord, first and foremost, is not because he saved us. Now, that's a reason, but that's not the main reason. The main reason here is what Jesus is driving out of Peter. It's easy to say, "I love you, Lord," sentimentally. It's a whole different thing to love the Lord loyally. Sentimentality, it infiltrates many of our common relationships, does it not? We have sentiment for our family. We have sentiment for nostalgia. We have sentiment for things that have been positive in our life. And no doubt, we can sentimentally love the Lord and not love him loyally. You see Christ in the scripture. You see Christ for who he is. We love Christ because we do see him for who he is, not first and foremost for what he does. Our love for Christ loyally is because of who he is, not because of what he has done. We look at his wonder, we look at his glory, we look at his attributes, we look at his great love, and yes, we can appreciate those things. But when you see Christ in the scriptures, right, when you see Christ in the word, loyalty to him is the first thing, not sentimentality. Sadly, and this is part of the problem we see and again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this today. I don't think this is the right forum, but It's what we see a lot in our modern hymnology. A love for Christ sentimentally, but not a love for Christ loyally. Sentimental love for Christ is not the same as loyal love. Some of the hymns are sentimental. And again, there are good truths in them. I'm not discounting them. I'm just saying that if you go back and you look at a lot of the older hymns, you'll find there was more of a love for Christ because of who he is and loyally, even if he had not done a single thing, more than the sentimentality that we have. The only reason we praise God today is not because of what he did for us, it's because of who he is. And there's a vast difference. Jesus is trying to pull out in Peter's heart this flaw that may still be there. You see, we read the account of Peter, and don't lose sight of this. There's nothing that was going to necessarily keep Peter from doing this, denying the Lord again. There was nothing guaranteed he wouldn't do it again. Sentimentality will not keep you loyal to Christ. It will not be enough. But this love in the scriptures. Now, you notice that Jesus doesn't end this conversation. So obviously, Jesus is not in his sovereignty and in his omniscience, he's not satisfied with Peter's answer. Now, again, don't get so tied up with Peter's answer that you miss from the perspective of Jesus. Sadly, this passage too many times is looked from the perspective of Peter and not from the perspective of Christ. It's what Christ is saying more than what Peter isn't saying. It's more what Christ is, why Christ is building. Why did Christ go back to, and even the second time, why does he not call him Peter? He keeps calling him Simon, son of Jonas. Lovest thou me? The second time, verse 16. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Peter's answer is exactly the same. Now, I know there are people who dig in and they get deeper and deeper and they say, well, the reason it's not the same is because he was using a different type of love. He used a different word. You can go down that path, but I would suggest to you that that's not the issue at hand. The issue at hand here is not about did he use agape or phileo love. This is much deeper than that. This is the reality of what Jesus is asking him and telling him. This time he does say, notice the question is a little bit different. The first time he says, lovest thou me more than these. The second time he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me. Do you see the subtle change? The then these is not included in this question now. Now it's just, do you love me? Whatever Peter said in the first answer wasn't enough. What is Jesus driving at? Why does he keep pushing this issue? Often, I mean, think about ourselves. We could put this in and I could ask you, do you love the Lord Jesus? And you would say, you know I love the Lord Jesus. And that'd be the end of it. Jesus didn't stop there. Peter's words were not enough for Jesus to be convinced. And again, Jesus already knows. This is not Jesus on a fact-finding mission. He's not having to find, what does Peter really think? He already knows what Peter really thinks. He's trying to get Peter to see what he really thinks. There's no doubt Peter has a sentimental love for Christ. Nobody who knows the scripture would ever say one time that Peter did not have a sentimental love for Christ. It's what drove him to do many of the things that he did. Even when he took that sword and took Malchus's ear off, and again, he wasn't aiming for the ear. Right? That was sentimental, no doubt. I do not want to see my Lord taken. But it's deeper. So there's still not enough here. His repentance is not fully complete in everything that Jesus is driving from him. Yes, Peter could say in his mind, I denied the Lord. It's a terrible thing to do. Peter could be saying, "Woo! Thank goodness, that's all in the past now. Lord, you saw my heart then, you see my heart now, that's in the past, bless me." And that's like us. That happened in the past. Again, forgiven is forgiven. That doesn't mean the flaw is totally removed. The flaw may still be there. What Jesus is asking him here is more about, was it a lack of love that caused you to stop short and deny me? In other words, was it love that made you stop short and not claim me? Jesus, again, I believe, is teaching here that you love me in the sense of you admire me. You recognize me. There's a wonder about who I am. There's an amazement about who I am. You do have affection for me. Peter is not being told, Peter, you don't love me at all. But rather, he's saying, you love me for what I am, what I've done. But you didn't love me enough to suffer for me. You didn't love me enough to pay a price for me. You didn't love me enough to stand for me. You loved me, but not enough to pay a price for it. The question is then asked that second time, do you love me? Peter, again, you know that I love thee. Then the Lord now says, notice he doesn't say feed my lambs, he says feed my sheep. This is not just a different word in the translations. He's using a different word, and there's a reason why he has moved from lambs to sheep. It's not lambs now, now it's sheep. Now it gives us in our mind's eye the difference between the lambs and the sheep. The gentleness of a lamb, right? The gentleness of that little one. But now you're going to have to deal with not these gentle little sheep now, or lambs. Now you're going to have to deal with the wandering sheep. The ones that are going to wander away. The ones who are not going to stay. Remember, this is all in the same context of Peter. You wandered away from me. Now you're going to shepherd the very same types who are going to wander. You see, there's so much to this. What Peter had been guilty of was not a lack of love, but Peter did not have a love that was enough to pay a price. But Peter had succumbed to what many of us succumb to, which is self-confidence. Self-confidence had ruined the stand he wanted to take. Remember what Peter said, I would die for you. The first time he was really challenged, he fled. Imagine how zealous we can be, even in this little safe little harbor this morning. Talk about a safe harbor. This is the safest place you're going to be all day long. This is the easiest place to tell the Lord, I will die for you. Yet this isn't where the test is. When we pick up the hymn book and we sing the hymns and we sing about the reality of who God is, we're not singing just because we admire him. We're singing as people with knowledge, and we're singing with people and we're saying, listen, this is not just somebody I love. This is someone I'm not just sentimental about. This is someone I'm loyal to. Peter is being driven to see it was self-confidence. It wasn't a lack of love. He loved him. He just didn't love him in the proper manner. Peter had the greatest zeal. We talk about people that are zealous today. Nobody in this room had more zeal than Peter. Nobody in this church had more zeal than Peter. When we talk about people that are zealous for the gospel, Peter would have undone all of us. And yet Peter is being corrected by the Lord. Imagine if this conversation had to happen with you and the Lord. Remember how easy it is to say, boy, Peter, I'm telling you, always, always, always putting his foot in his mouth. I'm telling you this morning, I don't want examined like this by our Lord. I don't want this conversation being asked of me. I wouldn't dare tell you that I've arrived. And boy, look at the flaws in Peter's heart. No, look at the flaw in your own heart. Look at the flaw in your own self-confidence. Look at the flaw in our self-confidence, even when we pray. We sometimes pray as if we think, God's going to see my zeal, and because I'm zealous, he's got to answer my prayer in my way. It's self-confidence. The greatest zeal does not protect you from pride. As a matter of fact, zeal can sometimes feed your pride if it's left unchecked. This is not about just being zealous for God. It is so much more. Self-confidence can often come with great zeal. We have to watch out for pride in the form of self-confidence. Self-confidence is not strong. It's actually very weak. Self-confidence is not loyal. Self-confidence is very short on prayer. It's the person that says, I don't need to pray much because I've already got this. That's why we're praying specifically. That's why we've set a time to come apart on Sunday mornings to pray, is because of the reality of we cannot have any self-confidence. And we cannot just rely on our zealousness and our sentimental love for Christ and saying, that's enough to stand in this world. Because it's not. It's not enough. If someone was to ask us, what's the greatest qualification to be a person who leads people to Christ or talks about the gospel or even preaches the gospel? Some would tell you that the answer is a love for souls. Yeah, we do love souls, no doubt. If you don't love souls, there's something wrong with your faith. But understand, we love souls in the sense that, yes, we are sympathetic to them. We are concerned about their condition. We sympathize with those who are outside the body of Christ, but the first prerequisite for preaching the gospel is because we love Christ. Period. You can even get this backwards. You see, it is about our love, not just sentimentally, but we love him because he first loved us. The key to what Jesus is telling Peter is humility. It's the key to everything. There were three denials. I'll move quickly. I know this is longer this morning, so my apologies. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time. Now just keep that in your mind for a minute. Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, that thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Peter is grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? What's happening here? The first time the Lord says, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. I love your attributes. I love the work. I love your redeeming love. I love your mercy. I love your kindness. Second time, do you love me? Are you meaningfully turning from this flaw in your heart? Do you love me enough to truly acknowledge this flaw and to truly repent of it? This is the third time. Do you love me enough to order your life? Make your priorities not just about the sentimental love, but about the love and the loyalty. Now, there's a lot of explanations as to why Peter was grieved. Again, I'll give you what I believe is why he was grieved. I don't think it's just because he objected to being challenged three times. That's the easy route. The easy route is to say he's just mad because he got challenged three times. I believe everything in my heart that Peter knew what the Lord was talking about. He knew about those denials. I think he felt grieved because those three questions suggested that the Lord thought that Peter's word could be worthless, that Jesus maybe saw a flaw still remain in his heart. Remember, he's talking to the Lord who knows all things. I think that's why Peter was grieved, to think that his affirmation of love might be rejected and might still be found wanting. It's not enough. Today, I think the challenge to us is our opening prayer every day is, do we truly desire to pursue righteousness and holiness of life? Jesus is even acknowledged by Peter as knowing all things. You know I love thee. Jesus then says to him, feed my sheep. Take that lowly position, be a shepherd, be a feeder of the lambs. What do we learn? We learn this morning that repentance is not a light thing. Sometimes people say it so simple, especially in their gospel pleas, and it's watered down to this. All you have to do to be saved is just kind of sign on the dotted line. Jesus is talking about something much more than just sign on the dotted line. He's not even relying on his sentimental. Some quickly just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry I sinned. Jesus is driving something deeper out of Peter. Repentance takes into the account that Jesus Christ is to be loved, not just sentimentally, but loved loyalty. If Peter is ever going to fulfill the commission of feed my sheep, he's going to have to declare that he has much more than just a sentimental love for Christ. The next week, we see why this becomes so important, because Jesus then tells him exactly how Peter's life is going to go. And he tells him, you are going to die for my sake. This was not a light conversation. So may God help us this morning see the great truths in this. Amen.